Good or what? Yeah, amen. It's all been good. Aren't you glad you're here? Amen. Someone as well said, this is the best place to be in town. Yeah. Rather be here in the best jail, best hospital, you get on the list. I mean, it's been good. Amen. And that music, I tell you, many a time I've been in a service such as this where the music is so good, I say, I don't even need to preach. Yeah. But I'm going to. But man, powerful. And I was telling Brother Moeller, the choir this morning and tonight, how come churches are leaving off from choir? You know, yes. Churches aren't having choir anymore. Man, you're robbing yourself. That's such a blessing. Amen. And it's just all good, and I praise the Lord for it. Yes, well, it's a blessing to be in God's house again. Yes, turn, if you will, to Psalm 122. Psalm 122. There is a trend. You're probably familiar with it if you're paying attention at all. There's a trend today to play down the importance of church. I mean, I'll meet people who say something like this. Well, I can be saved and I can have a relationship with the Lord without going to church. I say, that's true, but you can't be obedient. You can't be right with the Lord. Come on, he loved the church and gave himself for it. And this is his institution to carry on his business. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And this is the institution to do the Lord's business in this dispensation. I said it this morning. Come on, it's called the church age. And it's the institution he's established to do his business in this time frame. So those that say, well, church isn't all that important, King David would not agree with them. Stand if you're able to. Psalm 122. Read this passage. King David makes quite a statement regarding being together in God's house. He says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, under the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Let's pray. Father, we say it, and I trust you know our hearts, that we would mean it sincerely tonight, that it is good to be in your house here tonight. Already our hearts have rejoiced and been blessed by the testimony and song, the fellowship one with another. And Lord, just to know that we're in your presence. You've said where two or three are gathered together, you're there. And so we know you're here tonight. And we're thankful that you are. And we pray, Lord, that your being here would certainly be a time in which you would move in our midst. And Lord, you would speak to our hearts, tender our hearts even now, that we might be receptive to your word. And we might rejoice, as David did, at the opportunity to gather and be together in your house, giving ourselves to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, whatever the need might be here tonight, I know I can preach to a certain topic and address a certain thing in a certain way. But I know the Holy Spirit can take the word of God and personalize it. And so I pray you would, Lord, that you might speak to each heart here tonight. You might do a comforting work, an encouraging work, a challenging work, a convicting work. Whatever the work is that you know needs to be done in each life, I pray, Lord, right now, you'd begin that work. At the close of the service, we can say it's been good to have been in God's house. So I pray you'll help me now as I preach. Again, Lord, you know how dependent I am upon you. And so I ask that you'll help me now. Pray that everything that's said and done would be that which you would have said and done in such a fashion that your dear Son and our precious Savior might be exalted and we'd be drawn to him, conformed to his image, I pray. Well, thank you and praise you for it all now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. It's believed that this psalm was written by King David shortly after the kingdom had come back together after, of course, the time of Saul and David running from him. And for the first 7 years after Saul had died, David was king in Hebron, and Judah had received him, but the rest of the kingdom had not. But in the course of time, then they did, of course, receive him and establish him as king. And so he, having been away from the time of being together with God's people as a whole and being able to go to the tabernacle and all, I trust as you read through this, you can kind of get his heart. He's excited. He uses the word thankful a couple times. He's thankful for the privilege of being able to be in God's house. And I would say he certainly didn't take it for granted because there had been a time when he had did not have that opportunity. Someone has well said, you don't know what you got till it's gone. And I'll tell you what, as things wax worse and worse in our country, I'm glad still. I think I speak for everyone here. I'm glad still we can meet together tonight. And we can still do it in liberty. Now, I know some of the things happening and coming down the pike give reason for pause, but come on, as of to right now, and the Lord could come tonight, amen? And we sang a song about that. But praise the Lord for the opportunity to be able to assemble here tonight. And David says this in some other psalms in that regard. In Psalm 26:8, he says, Lord, have I loved thy habitation, the habitation of thy house, and the place where thine honor dwelleth. In Psalm 27, he said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. In Psalm 63, he says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee as in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. In Psalm 65, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. In Psalm 84, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wickedness. You getting the message there? David loved the house of God. He loved the opportunity once again. Now, come on. We need to get a little revival. This is Thanksgiving revival. Let's get a revival of our appreciation for, our commitment to, our support of God's house and God's work. Amen. It's Sunday night, but you know it's still the Lord's day? Amen. Hello, I said it's the Lord's day. That's like a 24-hour period. Come on, it's the Lord's day this morning. It's still the Lord's day tonight. It's not football day. It's not fishing day or golf day or go down the list. Come on, it's the Lord's day. And man, for the privilege to be in God's house. And I think you, if you're saved, come on, I think you want to be here. I'm telling you, there's something wrong with the heart for a believer that doesn't want to be with God's people in God's house around God's word. Yeah. Again, David would say, keep me from that crowd because I'm telling you what, I love God's house and for the opportunity to be there. So, I just want to notice a few things here in Psalm 121:22 that David says about being in church, okay? Some things about being in church that I think we ought to say amen to and certainly subscribe to. The first one is the joy of it. Come on, put a smile on your face. I am on your side. Come on. It's a blessing to be here. Brother Abels was making light of my smiling face. I've been called Smiling Dave and all those things, but hey, have you ever been around somebody? I mean, it's just everything is bad news. I mean, just sour, you know. What was that? Some of us go back. Remember the old Little Abner newspaper cartoon strip? There was a guy in there. I don't remember his name, but a rain cloud over his head. Everywhere he went, you know, there's a rain cloud. It doesn't matter where he's going or what he's doing. It's a rain cloud. Some people live like that. God deliver me from people like that. Come on, there is a joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We ought to have a smile on our face. Oh, yeah, you can concentrate on the negative, and there's plenty of that. But come on, accentuate the positive. God's good. And it's a blessing, again, a joy to be in His house, just to be able to be here. You know, there's some places in this world, they'd trade places with us in a minute. John Honeycutt's a personal friend of mine. We were in school together, and he went back to the Philippines. His dad was with Bob Hughes there, and he went back to the Philippines. And then God opened the door for him to go into China, so he works out of Hong Kong, and he goes into the mainland, and he kind of puts himself in peril. He's working with some of those house churches and all, and undercover and under threat. I'm glad we don't have to do that.
Yes,
we're blessed.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But again, too often we take for granted so many of the blessings that God has blessed us with. And one of them is, again, just the joy to be able to go. And realize the need to go. I need to be here. I need to hear God's word. I need to be called to account. I need to be encouraged in the Lord. I need to be challenged. I need to be shot in the arm. Come on, I need the fellowship of other believers. I need what goes on here. I need it.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Sir. Knowing the blessings that can be had when we go. Look at verses 6 to 8. He says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. Come on, there's a benefit. How many of us from time to time, it's church time, whether Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whatever, and we've had a bad day, or we're not feeling, too chipper, and so we kind of start, I think I'm going to stay home tonight or whatever. But then you say, no, I need to go. So you go. And then at the end of the service, you say, boy, sure glad I went. Sure glad I went. Yeah, I needed that. Boy, God knew I needed that. I'm sure glad he spoke to my heart and convinced me I needed to be here, because I needed to be here. It was good. Yeah. And we do need to be here. On Brother Abel's, how many times God will lay a message on our hearts, or you have a guest speaker like tonight, and he'll preach on something. I know a pastor's heart, been there, done that. And some message is preached, and you think of somebody that's not here, and you think, boy, they should have been, that would have been such a help to them. But they weren't here. Come on, it's a joy to be in God's house because of the benefit and the blessing that it is. So again, David would say the joy of it. I was glad to be in God's house. Number two, the collusion of it. I like that word. The collusion of it. Look again at verse number one there. He says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go in. Come on, we all need to be here. And the more the merrier. Yeah. I said collusion. That's kind of collaboration. Collusion's a word like so many words today that are kind of getting a bad press. But collusion is really a good word if you put it in the right context. We're in this thing together. And we need each other. And we do need to collude together. Yeah. Come on. To help one another, encourage one another, be involved with one another in the cause of our Savior. There's some other words, that have gotten kind of twisted and given a bad press. Bias. You're not supposed to have bias. Well, really, bias is just preference. There's some things we ought to prefer, like being in God's house, And I have a bias towards being in God's house. And I have a bias against somebody that doesn't think it's important, okay? Because it isn't important, okay? How about this one? Discrimination. Well, that's gotten bad press, hasn't it? But that really means discernment. Boy, do we need some of that today. I've said many times, believer ought to have a daily Bible reading, and I say, whatever you're reading, but I said, whatever you're reading, you ought to have two passages you always read every day. I call them the daily vitamins, spiritual vitamins. You need a psalm and a proverb every day. I've always said psalms will make you sweet and proverbs will make you smart, and you need a dose of both of those these days for sure, okay? So again, discrimination. Again, there's other words like patriotism is getting to be a bad word. God help us. Yeah. Amen. Capitalism getting to be a bad word. No, those are good words. Some years ago, I was teaching a class out at Silver State Baptist Youth Camp. Got all these teenagers, and I'm teaching this class. And I was talking about how Satan the rat, he destroys everything, and his minions do the same, twist and destroy good things. And I said a lot of good terminology. And I said, like the word gay. And I said, that's a good word. I said, I got a statement to make. I'm gay. I'm looking out there, there's like a tree full of owls. Well, come on, gay is a good word. See what I mean? Really? Is it sure? Are you sure? The world's messed it up. They've messed up a lot of things.
Okay. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. But anyway, again, collusion. We need to be together. Hey, just take a moment. Hold your place there. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You may know this passage even as I say it, but certainly you will when we get into it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Well, let's pick up in verse number 14. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. Let me just say for the record, because it says in other passages of the Word of God, the body is the church. You got to get your ecclesiology right. The body is the church, okay? Not this universal nonsense, whatever it is. No, it's the church. So he's talking about the church. The body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? You getting the point? It's kind of ridiculous. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were the hearing, where were the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Skip down to verse number 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God placed you in the body for a purpose. And every one of us has a place and a purpose. And we can't say, well, you're not too important. No, every part is important. It makes up the body. And you don't have the whole if you don't have every part. And if you're a member here, let me give you a cold slap in the face. You are a part of this body. And you have a place of responsibility. And come on, you are needed. And the ears say, I don't need the eye. No, we need every part. Come on, we need every part. We need every part. So you need to be here. We got a one-armed church, you know, because we don't have everybody. We have a one-eyed church. You know, we need everybody here. Amen. My pastor, now that followed me, he preached a message on 1 Corinthians 12. And this is the title of his message. You need the body, and the body needs you. That's pretty good, because it's so true. You need the body. My ear wouldn't last long out there by itself. Needs the body. But my body needs the ear. Come on. So don't tell me, oh, I don't need church. You'll dry up and die. You need the church. You need the body. But the body needs you. Yeah. So the collusion of it. Then the standing of it. The standing of it. Look again back there in our text in Psalm 122, verse number 2, our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Aren't you glad Berean Baptist Church stands for something?
Amen.
It's well been said, you don't stand for something, you'll fall for everything. Yeah. We need some distinctions. We need some things for it. Come on. Historically, traditionally, the name Baptist meant something. You donned that name because it gave some distinction as to who you were, what you believed, how you operated. Well, in my use of the terminology, it still means some things. And I want it to mean some things. And I'm distressed. Again, I'm talking about churches today. And I'll, next couple of services, I'm going to be preaching about the church. I'm so convinced. I'm telling you, there's such a need today. And we're seeing churches close. And there's some statistics that are so troubling. We now have, like, I think it's less than 25% of the population of the United States goes to church at all. I'm talking about those that go Easter and Christmas or something. And those that go to all kinds of different so-called churches, less than 25%. No wonder our country's where it is. Because come on, the success of our family, our individual lives, our community, our country is based on spiritual truth.
Yeah.
You've probably heard the story of Alexis de Tocqueville. How many of you know the story of Alexis de Tocqueville? He was a French newspaper man in the early 1800s. And of course, there was a great migration of people immigrating to America from Europe. And he would hear all this about the greatness of America. And like a typical Frenchman, some things never change. He was offended at that. And so he said, I'm gonna go find out what's so great about America. And he came very, you know, pessimistic and doubtful, yeah, critical. So he tells a story. He wrote a book about it. And he said, he tells a story, it's kind of summed up this way. He went around, he said, I went to their halls of education looking for the greatness of America, and it wasn't there. Yeah, still, how much more today? He said, I went to their places of industry and technology, it wasn't there. I went to their halls of government, it wasn't there. Yeah, right. He went to all kinds of different things that he thought would have some influence determining the greatness of America. And here was his statement. Until I went into the churches of America, that's where I found the greatness of America. And here's what he said. Their pulpits were ablaze with righteousness. And he made mention that America went to church. And so he went there to see what's this about church. And he found out it was ablaze with righteousness. And here was his statement. Here's the statement that's been quoted many times. He said, America is great because America is good. And if America fails to become good or stay good, it will fail to become great. Well, hello, welcome to the 21st century. I said it this morning, farther we get away from God and God's word and the principles of God's word, the more bizarre it gets. Yeah. So again, the standing in it. Come on, Berean Baptist Church stands for the truth. Makes no apology. Come on, help me now. Makes no apology for where we stand here. Doesn't try to go along to get along. Come on, the world needs to hear the truth. I used to say, a friend will tell you when you got spinach in your teeth. They won't let you go around looking like that. You got this green slimy thing here. Pull it out of there. They care about how you do. You know, hey, we need to tell people how things are. The truth in love again. Yes, sir, but the truth. Helping us to stand. It's a place of testimony. You read that term here in verse number 4, under the testimony of Israel. Come on, we need to have a testimony. What we stand for, what we believe, how we operate needs to be a testimony again that brings glory to the Lord. Surety, absolutes. Come on, there's some absolute truth and there's some absolute right and absolute wrong. Absolute truth and absolute lies. Come on, there's some absolutes. And God's house ought to be a place that stands clear on those things. A relationship that's involved with the stand that's here. Again, a Baptist heritage. We have a goodly heritage. Look at verse number 5. He says, for there are set the thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. There's a lineage there. There's a lineage here. And I've said this many times, we are debtors. We 21st century Baptists are debtors. And we're spoiled. Because I'm telling you, the heritage that we have that's come to us didn't come cheap. Brother Abels is in the Air Force. He used to hear this little motto all the time, freedom is not free. Well, hey, what we stand for and what we believe didn't come free. Some of our Baptist forefathers paid with their very lives that we might have what we have today. We have a goodly heritage. And so again, the standing, that we might stand there. God help us to. Okay, the joy in it, the collusion in it, the standing in it, the place of it. Look at verse number 4. He says again, whither the tribes go up. Whither is where? It's a place. The church meets here. I've heard people say, well, I go out in the woods and that's where I meet with God. Well, that's not where God meets. You're out in the woods, God ain't there. He's here. Come on, this is the place. It's the church house. It's where the church assembles. That's where he meets. That's where he's with his people. This is the place. Make sure you're in the place. Come on, the right place. Absolutely. Specific whereabouts, if you will. It's not the creation. I'm not there worshiping the creation. No, you need to worship the Creator. This is where you do that. Amen. So again, the place of it. And then the purpose in it. Look again at verse number 4. It says, whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, under the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. The purpose. You do have a purpose here, you know. It's not just I come to church to check the box, I was in church. No, there's a purpose for which you come. I trust. And I trust you're not here to please the preacher. Say, well, my Sunday school teacher's taking roll, and so I got to be there. Wrong motive. No reward. Wrong motive. Come on. I need to be here because this is the Lord's house. It's the Lord's day. I want to be together with the Lord's people. I hear from God's word, and I want to worship the Lord. I want to please the Lord. He's worthy of it. Amen. Come on, one day we get to heaven for all of eternity. We're going to worship the Lamb and say, behold the Lamb, worthy the Lamb. Amen. It's all because of Him. We're going to worship Him, amen, for eternity. The joy of it again, but the purpose in it, to worship. Remember Jesus came into the temple there a couple times in His ministry. He was pretty disappointed with what He found. He got mad. Hello. Righteous indignation. He got mad. Turned over the tables of the, money changers and took the cat of nine tails and drove that crowd out of there. Said, you've made it a den of thieves. You made it a marketplace. No, this is a house of worship. It's a house of prayer. That's what my place is supposed to be. So the purpose in it. And certainly to serve. Look at verse number 9. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Yeah, seeking God's good, no doubt. But seeking the good of, again, my brethren and companions. Hey, we've got a world out there. Needs to have somebody that cares enough to tell them the truth. And not just lackadaisically, or if it happens to come across your desk, so to speak. No, we need to purposefully seek the lost. Reach them with the truth. Purpose to do it. I've used the illustration. If you don't think about geography, maybe you've been there. How many of you have been to the Holy Land? Been to Israel? Raise your hand. Been to Israel? A few folks. Amen. You need to go. I wouldn't suggest going right now. Sam Davidson, I'm always on him about going to Israel. He said, I'll go one day. I said, I know, Brother Sam, we're all going to go one day. But I said, you need to go now. It's incredible. It's an amazing place. Amazing. It's just incredible. Okay. If you're familiar with it, the Jordan River runs north to south. It kind of separates what's Israel and Jordan. But all of that, really, God gave them. If Israel ever claimed what all God gave them, well, there'd really be a stir in the world today. Oh, man. Anyhow, Jordan River runs down. It runs into this thing called the Dead Sea. Familiar with it? You know why it's called the Dead Sea? Duh. It's dead. You don't go fishing in the Dead Sea. It's dead. Nothing lives in the thing. The thing is so full of elements and minerals, and you've probably heard it's salty, and it's so thick with those elements that you don't sink, you float. It's kind of an amazing thing. It's just south, at the north end of the Dead Sea is Jericho. Jericho is the lowest point, geographic point on the face of the earth, elevation-wise, the lowest point. The Dead Sea is the lowest point on the face of the earth. It's so low, you can sunbathe there and not get a sunburn. You don't need sun lotion because it goes below, the UV rays won't reach you there. It's incredible. I'll come to it here in just a little bit, but you go up from there to Jerusalem, and I'm telling you, you go up, yes. up. But here's the point I wanted to make. The Dead Sea, all kinds, not just the Jordan River, other tributaries dump into it, not maybe as well known or as big as the Jordan River, but nothing goes out of the Dead Sea. It dies there. I said, we got some Christians, I call them Dead Sea Christians. All kinds of blessings and benefits have come into our life. We're debtors.
Come on. God's blessed us with people that have had an influence in our life. Someone led us to the Lord. Come on, the many blessings and benefits we get from knowing God, all that coming in. But with some believers, it never goes out. Dead Sea Christians. It dies there. Shame on us. I said, shame on us. God expects it. Come on. He invests in us. He expects some return on His investment. We need to share, come on, what God has blessed us with. God forbid that we sit on it and don't share the truth with those that are so desperately in need of the truth. And we have the truth. God help us. So again, the purpose of it. The purpose of Berean Baptist Church is twofold. It's kind of encompassed, as you know, in the Great Commission. The first part is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Take the gospel to every creature. And then the second part is teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So you can't really teach a believer until you win a believer. So the thrust of the Great Commission is the evangelism part. But that's not the conclusion of it. The second part of it is just as important. In fact, the Apostle Paul, you do a study of his ministry, he gave more of his ministry time to the second part than he did the first part. And we know him to be the great missionary. Because he went back to those churches, second and third journeys were back to those churches to build them up in the faith. Those letters, come on, the New Testament's chock full of the letters that Paul wrote where? To the churches to encourage them in the faith, to give instruction. All that has to do with the discipleship part. Come on, we have a responsibility as a church. You're here for a purpose. You're to reach this community with the gospel, and then once you reach them, you're to teach them to reach the rest of the community with the gospel. That's our purpose, okay? So the purpose in it, the testimony, come on. All that this church is, and I thank God that it is, but don't take it for granted. Purpose to see that it continues and only grows in its influence. And then I just close with the benefits in it. David talks about the benefits at God's house. Look at verse number 4 again. So where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord under the testimony of Israel to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. Here we are, Thanksgiving, right on the threshold of it. Again, we say, we have much for which to be thankful. Aren't you thankful for this place? Brother Abels this morning gave testimony how he was disobedient to God's call that he was supposed to go to Nebraska. There's places, you know, I used to say, you know, my wife was Texan. I said, I went to Egypt, Texas, and I married an Egyptian girl. But I said, when I was in Texas, you could throw a rock in about any direction and hit a Baptist church, you know. I wanted to go, when God laid on my heart to plant a church, I wanted to go where there weren't Baptist churches and wanted to start churches where there was such a need. And I'm thankful God gave me that permission and that leadership and guidance and help. I haven't scratched the surface. But you know, as things degenerate in our country, it's funny. Places that we'd gone and started churches, saw churches even thrive, there's some areas you got to go back to them again in my lifetime. Some of the great churches of the 20th century, I'm talking about churches that made a difference in my life, don't even exist today. Temple Baptist Church, Detroit. Dr. G.B. Vick. Goodness gracious sakes alive. What an impact. What a leading church in America doesn't even exist today. We're losing our way. Aren't you thankful you still have a church like this you can come to? I'm in a military community. Some of those guys that get assignments where they have to go somewhere where there's not a church. And they'll be the first to tell you, well, I didn't realize how important and how blessed I was to have a church where I could go to. And I've always told them, I said, listen, I mentioned this morning Colonel Henry was influencing my life to go to Omaha area. And I think he started three churches in his military life, military service. He would be assigned someplace where there wasn't a church. So he'd just start a Bible study in his home. And they'd get a group together. And so he'd send word to the Bible college, hey, send us a preacher. We got a church started here. And he started, I think, three churches in as a layman. Amen. Well, I think that's somewhere in the Bible. They went everywhere teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. Yeah. But I'm telling you, there's places in our country. I'm talking about in our country. And up in our neck of the woods, I know places where families will drive 40, 50, 60 miles to be able to go to a church like this one. So again, are we thankful? Amen. Too often we take it for granted, but I'm telling you, ought to be thankful. Thank God you have a church like this in your community. Amen. Come on. Because not every community enjoys that. Not every place in the world for sure has what we have here. So again, thank God for the place. Thank God for the people. Brother Moeller and I were talking during the meet and greet thing, you know, he said, I don't want to really break it up. This is great. You know, people mixing the guy. I said, yeah. I said, you're singing this song when we all get to heaven. I said, just like heaven. We're just going to enjoy fellowship like this forever. You know, it's just a great thing. And the people, aren't you thankful for the people that make up Berean Baptist Church?
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, thank God for every one of you. And again, I say, come on, you're a part of the body and you are important. And you probably don't know some of the influence and the impact that your life has had on somebody else here. It's a wonderful thing. So again, thank God for the place, for the people. Thank God for the preacher.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I thank God for Jeff Abels.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I know you do too. And there's others around the country that thank God for Jeff Abels.
Yes, sir.
Talking about standing, you know where he stands. He's not all ashamed to tell you where he stands. Amen. We need more like that. Oh, God knows we need more like that.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes,
sir. So for the people. And then for the program. What's God's program? You know what God's program is? Human instrumentality. Philip went out there in the middle of nowhere for that Ethiopian eunuch. He said, hey, bud, understand what you're reading? He said, how can I except some man should guide me? One soul out there in the middle of nowhere, God cared enough about to send that deacon, Philip, out there to give him the gospel. He began at the place and preached unto him Jesus. Hey, I think it's, again, here in the Psalms, I think it's 73, where God told Israel, you have limited the Holy One of Israel. How could man limit God? Because God has so chosen to do his business with human instrumentality. We say, God doesn't need us. Yeah, he does. He's designed it such that he does need us. How shall they hear without a preacher? Come on. It's very much in the Word of God that God is dependent upon our instrumentality, that our submission to His will and His work and His way. He needs us. He needs this church. This church needs you. Amen. Yeah, but I don't really need to go to church. Yes, you do. I'm telling you, you need to be in God's house. Don't take the lackadaisical attitude. Yeah, you know, I got some things I got to do. Nothing more important than what goes on right here. Nothing more important. You need to be here. You need to be here. You got a purpose to be here. David said, I was thankful. I rejoiced that they said, let us go to the house of God. You ought to be rejoicing in the opportunity. I've said this and I'll close with this. On a Sunday, when you're getting ready to go to church, I think before you even get in the car with your family, you got to say, okay, whoa, everybody got the shoes on? Everybody got the coat? Okay, hold on. Let's just sit down here and spend a moment in prayer. Say, now, God, we're going to your house today. And we want you to know we're not going there just to check the box. We want to meet together with you. We want to hear from you. We need to hear from you, Lord. And so we want you to know we got our ears on. Isn't that right, honey? Yes, dear, we got our ears on. Is that right, Bobby? Yeah. I mean, go down, you know, we're ready for the Lord. Come on, we're going to meet with the Lord today. I'll tell you what, if you go to church with that kind of a spirit and that kind of attitude, you'll say, Brother Abels preaches a wonderful message every time. It's incredible. It's amazing. It is. Because you're expecting God to speak to your heart, and He wants to speak to your heart. That's why He wants you here. That's why He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You need to be here. And be thankful. Thankful that you can be. speaking to some folks out there tonight I know would like to be here, who can't be here. Again, you don't know what you got till it's gone. Appreciate it. Relish it. Absorb it. Rejoice in it. Thank God for it. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the place you've given us. Thank you, you care enough to give us a place. Not just that we'd come and assemble and, again, as I say, kind of just check the box, we've been in church. No, you intend for it to be a time of benefit, a blessing. As David said, a prosperity. That we prosper spiritually by being together with God's people around the Word of God. And to be in a place that we know God is there. And that He speaks. And that He moves. And that He cares. Oh God, what a privilege. What a blessing. And I pray, Lord, you open our eyes and, again, help us to recognize what a blessing it is. Oh, by our very nature, we just become mechanical and we do things sometimes just out of routine. Help it never be routine. It would be special. It would be, again, that which we've addressed and prepared ourselves for so that it can be and will be everything you designed it to be for our good and for your glory. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Abels, you come.
Let's just have a time.